So we're beginning Hilchos Pesach. If you look in the booklet here, so what Sorva did was they pulled from different places throughout their other works to make this little Pesach booklet. There's the laws of basically leading up to Erev Pesach, the laws of Seder. Now, if it was up to me, I would also add in the laws of Kashering, Hagalas Kalim, because that's also relevant to Pesach. In fact, one of the great things about having the laws of Kashering in Orach Chaim next to Pesach is the Mishnah Berurah comments on it. So that's always nice to have, because Mishnah Berurah only wrote on Orach Chaim. He didn't write in the other areas of Halacha. I doubt we're going to have time to get there. Maybe next year we'll do Hagalas Kalim instead. But this year we're going to focus on is, again, tonight's going to be framing the issue, framing Pesach. Next week will be probably Bedika, Bior, the search and destroy. The following will work on the Seder. The following two will probably work on the Seder. That work? Excellent. If you say no, it's too bad. Okay. Because Michael asked for a question, here's the question. Some guy goes over to the rabbi and says, "Rabbi, I have a question. There's a line of people. A line of people are waiting for the rabbi." The person cuts the line. He says, "Excuse me, you're not allowed to cut the line." He says, "I am. I'm asking a relevant question to Pesach, and it's 30 days before Pesach. Does he have a right to cut the line?"
What?
Okay, no. I'll ask another question. What if he's from Brooklyn? I'll ask another question. What else we deal with here? Yeah, well, leave it at that. Okay, so there's an interesting halacha, and also the other reason why I like this is because we're still before Purim, this overlaps with Purim. The Gemara tells us, we'll read it inside in a minute, that unique to Pesach is an obligation to begin to study the laws of Pesach 30 days prior to Pesach. Shloshim Yom Kol Nachag, 30 days prior to Pesach, one is supposed to start studying the laws of Pesach. Why would that be?
It's unique to Pesach.
We'll get there in a second. What do you say? Certainly Gemara only has it unique to Pesach. Yeah.
You have to get rid.
So you're saying it's very pragmatic. Pragmatic is there's a lot going on. Pesach is not just like, Purim, where you pull out the Megillah and you pull out a costume, or Shavuos, where you pull out the cheesecake. There's a lot going on for Pesach. That could be one approach. It's pragmatic. So what's the source for this? And by the way, it's not in here. We'll see it in a minute. It comes up actually it does come up Megillah. So we'll get there. What do you say? He quotes it. Okay, fine. I'm not very good at integrating the sources, but we'll do it together. Says the Gemara as follows. This is on Ketan and Pesachim Dav Vav. So actually, it's important.
What page?
This is on page number 13, which is a lucky number in Judaism because it makes you a man. Says the Gemara as follows. It's the context, actually, the Gemara. It's a funny context. And I think the context, by the way, is key to understanding and unlocking the sugya. The Gemara says that if a person leaves their home on, let's say, Pesach is on Thursday night, they leave their home on Wednesday night, so they have to still do Bedikas Chametz. Certainly, if they're going to return, they have to do Bedikas Chametz, right? You can't have Chametz in your home. And the Gemara is trying to figure out how much prior to leaving one's home do you have to, how many days prior do you have to actually begin doing the search, does the obligation to search kick in? So in the context of the Gemara says as follows, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav. Hafaris v'yotz b'shiaris. A person's going to leave. Back then, you're going for sale. You're going on a caravan. Kodem shloshim yom, and they're going 30 days prior to Pesach. Ein zokok levayer. They don't have to remove all the chametz from their possession. Hani shloshim yom. Tov shloshim yom. But if they go within 30 days, that is from Purim onwards, zokok levayer. You must remove the. You must go and. And look for the chametz. How do I know this? Kidatanya shown udar shmilchas pesach kodesh pesach shoshim yom. Because there's another halacha that states a person has to learn the laws. Well, actually, be more specific. Shaul means what? Ask. Darshan means explain the laws of Pesach prior. The reason I'm being specific here is this is our text of the Gemara. The Rif and the Ran had a different girsa, and theirs was just shoal. To ask the laws. What's going to be enough? Is there enough Gemina? We'll see. Fine. That's the Gemara. So again, if we take Judah's approach, which I think is Rashi's going to point out, right? We don't have it here. Rashi goes, why? Because there's so much you have to grind the wheat, and you have to find the wheat and grind the wheat, and then there's so much going on, Karban Pesach even, right? In the days of Karban Pesach, so that's when you need 30 days. The problem with Rashi, I mean, we love Rashi, is look at the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara goes, how do I know you need 30 days prior to Pesach? So again, if it was purely pragmatic, I would argue it's logical. You know, even as a day in the Rosh Hashanah says you need 2 weeks beforehand. Meaning just give me a set amount of times, 30 days beforehand. It makes sense. That's time, right? It's good time. Before 30 days, you can argue you're still involved in Purim, right? You're too busy with that. You don't want to think about it. I sent you the schedule for the Gabbai schedule, and you're like, I don't want to see it before Purim. You're busy. You got to figure out your Purim schedule. So maybe it's pragmatic. But the Gemara doesn't do that. It says the Gemara as follows, Shrei Moshe Omer Pesach Rishon, Umazo Pesach Sheni. Because on Pesach Rishon, Moshe gets up there, and he says, oh, for all you folks who, for whatever reason, didn't qualify for Pesach Rishon, meaning to say, what does it mean they didn't qualify? So let's assume for now they were tummy, they were impure, right? Meaning to say, really, you should have done it, but because of some technicality, you couldn't do it. I'm being very specific in my language here, because there were other times, let's say someone becomes a ger, in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Did they bring up Pesach Sheni? Okay. So he says as follows. So basically he says that Moshe starts telling the laws of Pesach Sheni 30 days prior to Pesach Sheni and Pesach Rishon. The implication is that 30 days prior to Pesach is when you're supposed to start asking questions about Pesach. And the conclusion we're drawing from there is not only are you asking questions and giving drashas, but really you're supposed to start getting involved in Hilchos Pesach and perhaps even, as the Rashi would point out, start grinding your wheat. Maybe start cleaning your house a little bit. All that is taking place in these 30-day time frame prior to Pesach. Any questions or comments?
It's funny how the obligation seems to be like on the congregation to ask and learn. And the source is because Moshe taught them. It should be the obligation of the
teacher. So we're going to come back to that when we get to the Ron. And there's a Taz that I didn't have time to look up, so I wasn't going to quote, because I don't like quoting things I don't look up. But I'm going to quote now. I'm going to quote because you said that, which is it's a fascinating Taz. Okay. Oh, so very good.
Also,
yeah.
I mean,
oh, really?
I'm just being a little nitpicky here with the proof that Moshe was teaching about Pesach Sheni. Like, there's a lot less laws.
That's another. It's a very good point. It's also raised as well. For those who want to take this pragmatic approach, well, Pesach Sheni, it's just carbon Pesach. It's much less. Again, you're playing right into what I wanted you to, where I wanted you to go right here. By the way, the Shalah learns that it's not about learning. It's about learning the Masechtas that are relevant to that holiday 30 days beforehand, like we're doing for Megillah now. So when we I think it was in YU, they don't have Zman like a yeshiva where they give off a month. They give off, it's like 10 days. And you have your travel day to go home, your travel day to, or I think it's 11 days, travel day to go home, a day home, and a travel day to come back. So we finish here, right before Pesach, and Rav Shechter says, okay, I'll see you, 12 days from now, whatever it was. He goes, I think you should really learn the relevant halach gemaras that are relevant to Pesach, like I'm going to do. So like, what gemaras are they? He goes, oh, no, Mesechus Pesachim, Mesechus Beitza, which is about Yom Tif, and parts of Menachos, about Sefiras Omer. He says, a Moed Katan, because there's Chol HaMoed going on. It's like, okay, Rabbi. But that's actually, Rav Shechter is also, Rav Shechter also, he when he asks what Kol Tarkula is, he thinks it's Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sefrisa from Mechilta, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch Harav, because the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Hilchos Talmud Torah says this. So, Rav Shechter once said, or more than once, they said, like, yeah, a person's obligated to learn Kol Tarkula. And he goes, it's not so much. You can fit on one bookshelf. Like, I've done it. You can do it. Okay, that's Rav Shechter. But we do have to learn Kol Tarkula, which is what we're doing right now. Okay. There's another Gemara. The Gemara is found in Megillah. So we learned this Gemara together for those of us who learn Megillah. And it's a quite perplexing Gemara because the Gemara is trying to figure out, the Gemara basically says if Purim falls out on Shabbos, which can't happen calendarically nowadays, but in the event it does, we don't read the Megillah. Why? Exactly. Gzeira deRabba. The same reason we don't shake lulav on Shabbos, the same reason we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Gzeira deRabba. Rabba came along and said, what's going to happen? You have mitzvos that involve an item. People will come to carry it to. Why? What do we say? What do they do with it? Carry it to? To take it to someone to teach them how to learn. We're all going to go to Jonathan's house, knock on his door, and say, can you teach us how to read Megillah? Right? Point is, we don't read Megillah on Shabbos because we don't want to come to carry it. So in the context of the Gemara basically says, so if it falls on Shabbos, what should you do? It says, learn Hilchos Megillah. Right? Learn Hilchos Megillah. And the Gemara basically has a havamina, has an initial assumption to say maybe you wouldn't be allowed to learn even Hilchos Megillah on Shabbos, right? No, sorry, take a step back. Then the Gemara says, 1 minute, learn Hilchos Megillah on Shabbos, that falls out on Purim. But, says the Gemara, source number 2, page 14, Moshe and Tikkun Lam Yisrael, Moshe already instituted this concept, Shushalu Darshin Ben Yono Shayom, that on the day of the actual holiday, when the rabbi gets up there and starts talking about Hilchas Pesach on Pesach, Hilchas Shavuos on Shavuos, Hilchas Sukkos on Sukkos, I'm just following what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, that in Hilchas Pesach, Pesach Hilchas Atzeres Batzeres, Hilchas Chag B'Chag. That on every respective holiday, there's an obligation to learn the laws of the holiday, and therefore the Gemara says, so on Purim, we should be doing it either way. Two things from that Gemara. One is, the Gemara is not learning as an the Gemara is learning potentially almost pragmatically, right? I would say, again, or not, let's take it back. The Gemara is basically saying, and this is just Bidayak of the Gemara, Moshe did not establish learning Hilchos Purim on Purim. But if you look at the Gemara, says he looks Pesach on Pesach, Shavuos on Shavuos, and Sukkos on Sukkos. The fact that we're extrapolating already, where we're really saying, Moshe said, learn the relevant halachas of that day on that day. That's what he really said. So if it's Purim that was instituted 2,000 years later, no. I mean, the Gemara says it. The Gemara's question is, we already know you should learn the laws of Purim and Purim because Moshe already established to learn the laws of Pesach and Pesach and Sukkos, Shavuos and Shavuos. The Gemara doesn't answer, yeah, it was Moshe, this is nowadays. The Gemara gives a very perplexing answer, which we'll get to in a minute. So again, the implication is there's something about learning the dino of that day on that day.
I don't know, but it's also like just the big, the Sholosh Regal. It doesn't say... Of Yom Kippur or
100%. But the fact that the Gemara doesn't have that. What you would say, the Gemara should answer that. The Gemara should say. I mean, again, the Gemara says we learn laws of Purim on Shabbos of Purim. Says the Gemara, I don't need a separate din to teach us that. Or I think he quoted a pasuk of Megillah. It's a Tana for Moshe Beinu. The Gemara should have answered, as Daniel just said. Excuse me, that's just the Shalosh Regalim, not Sukkos. Excuse me, not Yom Kippur, not Rosh Hashanah.
Not,
right. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara gives a totally different answer.
That's the demon for that day, though, so that's fine. So on that day, you'll learn what you can learn on Pesach. 30 days before, you still have to
finish. Oh, good. Learning
on the day is useless in terms of preparing and getting ready.
100%. 100%. Right now, we don't have a steer. We don't have between the two Gemaras yet. We haven't pointed out any problem between these two Gemaras. We're just saying there's a Gemara. For Pesach, certainly we have the idea of learning 30 days before. By other holidays, we just have learning on that day. By the Gemara then says, what? What's the idea? Why Purim do we need to have a special limud for this? Not because of what we just said, which would make most sense, but because you might have thought the same way you can't read Megillah on Purim, you can't learn the laws of Purim on Purim, which is highly strange. So I saw Revelli of Silverman, I learned next to him, they smedges. He was a Shalom Meshiv. I make it sound like we're colleagues, we're not colleagues. I learned here, he learned there. He's been learning in the same place for the last 20 years in Gross. He put it safer. I saw he wanted to argue, perhaps, the reason you learn the laws of Purim, on Shabbos, is not just because you want to review the laws, but actually it's somehow a fulfillment of Pursumi Nisa. Hey, what are you guys doing there? Oh, we're learning Hilchos Purim. Why? Because you know what happened in Purim? You tell the story over. And he said, if that's the case, then you have to... He gave him a number of nafkaminas, including, what did we say with those who learned Megillah? What did we say? Do you have to understand when you read Megillah?
No.
No, why not? But why do you not have to understand? Megillah gave a very specific reason for Megillah.
No one knows. You have to hear it.
Well, no one knows. Is it correct? But also, Pursumi Nisa. It's just about everyone congregating together. And when everyone congregates together, why are you all here? Or we're reading Megillah. What does Megillah say? Well, I don't know what specifically it says, but I do know the reason we're here is because Haman came to destroy the Jewish people, and now we're here and getting drunk. Right? So he wanted to argue there's an element of that today. Okay. Obviously, the contradiction is going to... Well, you already started to answer, but the contradiction of the two Gemaras is going to be the Gemara Megillah seems to imply the halacha is only on that holiday, whereas by Pesach, it implies it's 30 days ahead of time. So what does the Ran say? So he says... So again, the Ran only has the girsa of Sholin. Well, he has Sholin Darshan here, but he based on the Rif. So the Ran wants to argue that the halacha is... There 30 days on the yontif itself, there's an obligation to learn to actually learn the halachas. 30 days prior to that, the obligation is that the rabbi has to already be prepared to talk about these halachas. So that if two people come to the rabbi and say, we have both the questions, one's question is in Hilchos Mezuzah, one is in Hilchos Pesach, the one with Hilchos Pesach gets precedence because we're now in the world of Pesach. It's much more emphasis on the shul and the asking. The Taz, just to bring to your point, Daniel, the Taz says that actually all year round, the rabbi gets to choose the topic. You might not have anyone come to the shir, but it's on the rabbi to choose the topic. Around holidays, he's bound by the halacha of Shaul Darshan Shlosh Mekon Mechag, and he has to teach Hilchos Pesach. So he goes on to say as follows. I don't want to butcher this. I didn't have time to look it up. He says that normally the rabbi, therefore, is working for himself. But around Pesach time, he's working for everyone else. And halacha is, if you borrow something from someone who's working for you, the Gemara B'Metzia, and it breaks, you don't have to pay back because you're working together on the item. The Taz has this like, big chiddush. He's like, because the rabbi has to teach Hilchos Pesach, if you borrow something from it, it's as if you're working together ba'alavimo, and therefore you don't have to pay it back. That was his chiddush. Okay, we don't go down that route. Fine. Good. Tosfos disagrees with the Ran. He says, no, the obligation is always 34 and the holiday itself. Comes along to Beis Yosef, and he says as follows. What is unique about Pesach more than the other holidays? So he gives a number of reasons. Some are here. He starts off with Od Yei Shlomar, which you already know that there was a couple answers. So the answer one is he quotes the Ran, who basically says it's just about Shol, the question. It's about who gets precedence. Then he says, no. Yeshua Dina Pesach, Akol Panim, source number 5 and page 15. Sarach Lodiyam Lem, Kodin Pesach, Shloshim Yom. Why? Kdeshi Ulahem shows Rav, Lask Betchinas Chitim. You need time to grind the wheat. Bafias Matzah, and cook the Matzah. Bagal's Kalim, and Takashra all your Kalim. Right back then, they didn't have a special Pesach cabinet with all Pesach Kalim. They're the same Kalim they're using. Ubir Chametz, and burning the Chametz. Which, by the way, I think is kind of interesting. You put a beer Chametz, that's just an Erev Pesach. So that implies you can maybe do beer before that? I don't know. We'll see. What?
I mean, you can, but Orla Arbas are both, you know, so chametz.
I understand. I'm just saying he implies that almost maybe there's an idea of doing beer beforehand. We could do beer, or maybe there's a...
Just listing, like, big picture, you know.
It could be. You're right. It could be. He's saying that the idea of Bayura, Bayamatzah, Tashbis might apply beforehand, which I'm going to want to say, that's why I'm picking on it, but okay. So now the question is, what about Sukkot? So he doesn't say it here, but it's the Beis Yosef, he cuts it out. But basically, he says as follows: even Sukkah, the Gemara goes to a Sukkah Ganvach. You have a Sukkah that's basically you can throw together just a couple pieces of wood and some schach on top, and your Sukkah is done. I had a neighbor growing up, we are from Sayek, and he moves into his house, and then I remember that year it was like the summer. He decided he wanted to build his own Sukkah, and maybe the thought occurred to him during the Ilah. I don't know, maybe occurred to him sometime during the Avod on Yom Kippur, because it wasn't like 3 months beforehand. So he goes to Home Depot, like at some point in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, buys all the wood, and I remember like it's a Shkia, and we're walking to Shul for Sukkot, and he's like still banging away. And he got it up, it was a little Sukkah. But you can put a Sukkah up pretty quickly. Yeah.
There is a concept of the Sukkah Yashan.
Thank you. Thanks for quoting it. We're going to get to that because that's going to play in as well. I was going to quote that as well. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that if it's not a Sukkah, it's a Sukkah Yashan if it's more than 30, if you build it more than 30 days.
Good. So we're going to get there in a second because that's going to, we're going to get there. I'm very happy you quoted that. I was thinking last night at like 11:30 at night, I was thinking of that. I even called a friend to discuss it and we'll quote it. Okay, fine. So the Beis Yosef then says another reason might be that the themes that animate Pesach are themes that we want to really absorb about the Exodus, about how, you know, God's providence, etc. And lastly, he says that it's really a throwback to when there was a carbon Pesach that really required finding the right animal, make sure it didn't have any blemishes. And now that we no longer have a carbon Pesach, we're not removing this takana, this takana of Shloshim Yom from part of the calendar, because that's when it was established. Interesting. That same idea is thrown out by in the beginning of the fourth parak of Sachem. See, when I quoted Sachem was a couple weeks ago and I messed it up, so now I had to start chasing it again. Now it's on my mind. When Sachem, the Gemara says, Erev Pesach, we don't do malacha after Chatzos. Which we said, that reason we quoted, because that malacha we said is like when someone's either an Avelus or Chol HaMoed, meaning to say that we can turn on and off lights, we start refraining from new malacha. Why don't we do malacha? So the Gemara begins the parak and says, actually some communities, they'd even do malacha from the morning. Why? So Rashi jumps up and says, because there's so many things to do. There's looking for chametz, and there's getting rid of the chametz, and the matzos, etc., etc. Rashi's of the opinion, by the way, you should probably make matzos in Erev Pesach matzos. That's why there's some chassidim here, makbid, and that they go, if it's not stressful enough in Erev Yontif, they go and make matzos in Erev Yontif. Okay. Tosfos, excuse me, I think it's the Balam Mar there, says... 1 minute. What?
Maybe you screw up and you make chametz. That's not a good idea.
Oh, you're saying Aleph Dat. I hear. It happened to be back then. There were some community, they didn't even have that many ovens. So they'd be cooking matzah in, like, mamash on Pesach itself. And they'd have to wait for it. But okay. I think it's Rashi also adds in because of Karban Pesach, which is fine. The Tosfos, I believe, says it's a din of Karban Pesach. And you look in the back, I think it's about Baal HaMor or the Ravid, or the Ramban, one of them, the small print says, look, and nowadays we don't have Karban Pesach anymore. The Kana is there, the Kana stays. Very similar idea. Once the Kana is there, the Kana stays. We're not removing this part of the Karban Pesach. So that's the base Yosef says. I, by the way, had a Havamina. I haven't substantiated this yet. That we discussed last Sunday, that when you learn about carbonos, it's as if you brought them. Shalom Parmas Vaseinu. So maybe like this is some sort of kiyum and like bringing the carbon without learning about it 30 days ahead of time. Okay.
That would lean more towards like learning the Gemara.
So there's some say like the Shalah, you should be learning the Gemara. Yes, correct. Okay. Where are we up, dude? I'm having trouble with this going back and forth. I spoke a lot of it outside. Okay, fine. I guess to frame it a little more. So we have these Gemaras. We went through the Beis Yosef for a number of reasons. I want to argue, perhaps, and this is not my argument, or if Michael Rosenzweig makes this argument, that although you can look at this and frame it, it's purely pragmatic. Pesach has so many intricate halachas that go into it. Therefore, we need to give significant time prior to Pesach to prepare for it. One can argue that it's much more than that. It says as follows. If it was purely pragmatic, why would we need a pasuk to quote to tell us Moshe stood on Pesach Sheni and taught us that Pesach Rishon taught us Pesach Sheni? Just say, 30 years beforehand, why? Good idea. It's a kana. Like the fact that he quoted Pesukim almost sounds like there's a derisa element to it, right? There's a derisa element to it. Moreover, as Jonathan pointed out, what would the laws we derive it from are Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, like, you can have chametz in your house. There's no issue of lo sishach adam zivri, of having chametz in your house, Pesach Sheni. It's just Karban Pesach. It's just Karban Pesach. Which, again, in a way, minimizes all the tircha you're going through. So, again, why are we quoting these psukim? Why are we quoting these psukim?
I actually think that 30 days is, like, bad. Because you don't know 30 days before Pesach.
Well, you don't know what?
There could be a leap year. Or, like, you don't know.
That's also true. That is definitely true. So, I wonder if that's why...
45 days before.
I hear it. That's a good point. I don't know.
They have a note on that here. On page
where? What do you say?
A leap year. There's the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, like, that the Sanhedrin can't make a leap year too late, like, too close to Pesach.
They can't make it after Purim?
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, okay. There's your answer.
Oh, okay. It's
very interesting. Someone said it. Someone said it was you only have 2 weeks. Okay. It could be that what's happening here is that we're saying it's not just pragmatic, and this guy, you know, the Beis Yosef alludes to this when he says it's about the themes that animate the time, the fact we're quoting Pesukim, but rather there's something unique to Pesach, that Pesach, 30 days beforehand, already we create what's called, using the Lumdish terminology, a chalos. There's already some sort of element of Pesach beginning 30 days ahead of time, which is why, where does this whole subject come up in the Gemara? In the context of Bir Chametz, of Bedikas Chametz. You're 30 days ahead of time, Bedikas Chametz. Why then? Because again, there's something about Pesach, and we'll talk about what it is in a minute, that we're actually saying Pesach is not just these 8 days a year, 7 days a year. Pesach actually begins 30 days prior to that. That 30 days prior, we're now in we're in the world now of Pesach. In fact, there's a Gemara, this goes as far as the Gemara, Pesachim Dab Gimel Amid Beis, the bottom has a very interesting Gemara. It talks about there was a certain non-Jew who lived far away, and he went to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseirah and he said to him, "You should know, I eat the Karban Pesach every year." Now the pasuk says, "Kol b'necha l'yachol bo," that a non-Jew can't eat from there. Although b'necha might not be a non-Jew, okay, but certainly a non-Jew can't eat from there. But b'necha might be someone who's necha, who's far, who's a heretic. So the Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseirah said to him, "Like you eat the Karban Pesach every year?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Do you eat from the aliyah, the tail, the best part of it?" He goes, "No, I've never had it." He goes, "Well, tomorrow, next year, go to the Beis Hamikdash and say you want the aliyah." So this guy goes to the Beis Hamikdash that year, masquerading as a Jew. He says to the Kohanim, "And I want the aliyah." They said, the aliyah is part of the Karban Pesach, like that's totally burnt. It's a tail. He goes, "We don't allow you to eat that. That's actually part of the Karban Pesach because it is some sort of shlamim. So some of it's going well, not totally shlamim. It has elements of shlamim to it. The Karban Pesach in general, it's a rule breaking carbon. It breaks every rule. But okay, that part goes on the mizbeach because who told you can have from the aliyah?" So he said, "Oh, I was Yehuda ben Beseirah back home said I can eat from there." So they said, 1 minute, if Yehuda ben Beseira said you can eat from it, clearly something's going on here. So they looked, they found out he wasn't Jewish, and they got rid of him. Got rid of him. So that's the Gemara. Says Tosfos, hold up. Why was Yehuda ben Beseira? Was Yehuda ben Beseira or Yehuda ben Baba ben Buta? Yehuda ben Beseira. Yehuda ben Beseira, they said to him, give him a base. It's like 10 lines at the bottom. They said to him, Tosfos, like, why wasn't he in the base of Mikdash? Being like bringing the Karan Pesach. After all, what do you say? No, but you can't just do Pesach Sheni. You have to. So maybe it could be, but meaning the fact that he had to give this whole funny trick, and then they actually start praising. Look, his net spreads all over Eretz Yisrael. Why wasn't there? So the Gemara Tosfos goes to a number of reasons, which we don't have to go through now because or in depth now. Maybe he wasn't a landowner, and only landowners can get it. Maybe he lived outside Eretz Yisrael. Wait, lived outside Eretz Yisrael. So that introduces this an idea that someone who's derech rechoka, who lives far away, does not bring the Karban Pesach. In fact, according to the Rambam, which is unique, and this is why I was careful I worded it before, if you're far away, however far that may be, on Erev Pesach, you're not even obligating Karban Pesach, so much so that if you come closer between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, you don't have to bring Pesach Sheni. Because you're almost compared to the case of the Ger before Pesach. It's a fascinating Rambam. It's a chiddush of the Rambam, though it makes, I think, a lot of sense. Says, and this is machlokas, do you have to obligate yourself by coming forward? I found an Orzai, Rabbi Yehuda Teresky, he sent me a voice now. I was telling him what I was talking about. He said there's the Arsameach writes, where does the obligation kick in? That you have to put yourself in a place that you would be obligated to be considered not there for Choka. That it already kick in 30 days prior to Pesach. It seemed like 30 days prior to Pesach, you have to start thinking, how am I going to get into the right vicinity so that I can bring Karban Pesach? So again, another halacha. Not only have to talk about B'dika and Biyur, not only have a pasuk, we also talk about in terms of Derech Rechok of Karban Pesach, close to, again, 30 days prior. So why would that be? So it says of Rosenzweig as follows. What do you say?
I found inviting my guest 30 days beforehand.
You should know, I think there's a minog or a... Some I might be a Lubavitcher Hasid. They don't like being like in the vicinity of the Beis Hamikdash Erev Pesach time for this, because like, then they might have been in the Karban Pesach. I think I heard this once. You can fact check me also on that one. So what did he say? It was Yehuda ben Beseira. Okay, fine, good. Okay, good. What? Go buy your lamb. Okay. The what was the idea behind this? It says of Rosenzweig as follows: Pesach, in a way, is the most generic of all holidays. One, he says, the idea of Pesach is Zeichet Yetzias Mitzrayim, or is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every other holiday is Zeichet Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, like, in a way, Pesach is the foundational part. The whole idea of Nisan is the first month of the year. That's why perhaps it's the most special month. It's the month that the Mishkan was built in. Right? A lot of things happen, and we're going to come back in a minute. That's why we have all these different halachas for Nisan, these happy halachas, if you will. We don't say Tachlin. We can't get happier than that. Although, after my Tachlin, sure, I hope everyone's saying Tachlin and running to find places to say Tachlin. Okay. More than that. We know what's unique about Yom Tov, other than Shabbos, came up in Megillah. Ein bein Shabbos, ein bein Yom Tov v'Shabbos, Ella? Ochel nefesh bilvad. How do you know ochel nefesh is allowed? Eating, preparing foods, as in cooking on Yom Tov is allowed? We learn from the Pasuk of Ach, right, that Pasuk. Where is that Pasuk found? By Pesach. Thank you, Bal Kore. So in a way, what sets the paradigm for all the Yom Tovim is Pesach, even halachically. So Rav Rosenzweig wanted to argue that because of this, it's the themes that animate it. It's the idea that it's the first. It's the holiday about the Exodus. It's like it's so foundational to who we are as Jews that we're not just limiting it to these 8 days, but actually we're giving it this time 30 days beforehand, which halachically has relevance in terms of B'dika, maybe in terms of Karban Pesach, certainly in terms of Shalom Darshan, which is Beis Yosef's point that it's not just learning the laws, but also talking about the ideas that the ideas behind it. And he points out, there's also what we call an afterglow that goes to Pesach Sheni as well. Now, and then he said, if you really want to be ambitious here, the Ramban writes, all of Sfira is Chol HaMoed between Pesach and Shavuos. I said at that point, if you're a Hasidish Talmud of Rosenzweig, your Sukkos goes to Chanukah, you know, because that's the last day to do Tshuva, and your Pesach goes to Shavuos, and yeah, okay. So that was what Rav Rosenzweig wanted to say. I thought that was very interesting. Any questions on that? Thoughts, comments? Yeah.
Another thought. I guess, I mean, related back to the Gemara and Megillah, is the, not this Gemara, but a different Gemara, that, you know, why we have, we read the Megillah and utter Sheni, because Smicha Gula Gula. Yeah. So like, and 15, you know, 30 days before is the day after.
Interesting. That's a good point.
So it's like, not only like the months are connected,
I hear.
But like the days are literally, the next day you're starting to learn.
I hear. That's a good point.
Rabbi Katz, I'm confused. Why did it make it 30 days? When it says in Conversion, the Chumash says that you take a lamb, you keep him for like 4 days, you watch over him, and it said that the Egyptians got upset because that was the God that was called Shabbos HaGadol.
So that's we'll do Shabbos HaGadol next week.
And on the 14th, you slaughtered it. And now you ate it with
I'm not sure. But I realized I didn't come. I want to come back to your point. So what bothered me last night, okay, I had this whole nice Devar Torah. Pesach is unique because of the laws, right? So Jonathan quoted Gemara. The Gemara has the Machlokos Beis Shammai. It tells like a Mishnah and Sukkah. I think it's on Daf Tes, right? The Mishnah says that if you, it's a Sukkah Yeshena, an old Sukkah. Or Sukkah Yeshana. Yeshena is a sleeping Sukkah. Sukkah Yeshana is an old Sukkah. Can you fulfill your obligation? Meaning to say the Gemara really wants to know is, does a Sukkah have to be built? L'shem mitzvah sukkah, or if you're in a structure that happens to have leaves on top and it fills the obligation, can you work with it? Beis Hillel seemingly says a sukkah yeshana works. Beis Shammai says a sukkah yeshana doesn't work. What's a sukkah yeshana? So any sukkah built before 30 days prior to Yom Tov is an old sukkah. And the Gemara says if you build it l'shem sukkah, even Hanukkah time that works. You say I'm building a sukkah because you know it's Hanukkah now, but I want to build my sukkah now for sukkahs, that would work. The idea is that building a sukkah 30 days prior to sukkahs, you can assume it's being built lishma for the sake of sukkah, even though you don't stay it. Why? Says Rashi, because we know shloshim yom kol nechag shol darshan. So I was like, wait a minute, shol darshan. That was just a unique. We just said a whole idea how it's unique to Pesach, right? So either you could say it's not unique to Pesach; it exists everywhere. In fact, the Salvechik wanted to argue that the idea of doing the three haftorahs prior to Tisha B'Av. The Haftorah is of we talk about, you know, the destruction, that's an idea of Shel Darshan. Or you can argue, I to say what I want to say is as follows, that, no, look, at the end of the day, the idea of 30 days as unique chalos is to Pesach. But 30 days prior to Sukkot, you might be asking questions because it's coming close to Sukkot, it's not a chalos. Once Sukkot is on your mind, so why else are you building the Sukkot for? It's practical. You're building it because you're coming to Sukkah is going to be. Not because, like, by building it now, it's already considered part of Sukkah. It's just that, what else are you building a Sukkah so close to Sukkah for? No, that was, okay. Fine. No. What?
I'll think about that.
Oh, you think about it. Okay.
I have other thoughts.
Okay, fine. A couple other halachas. The, we're up to? Okay, the month of Nisan. We don't say Tachnan. There's no Tzidik HaDin. We don't say Tzidkosk on Shabbos. You don't say Avarachaman. The Mishnah Berurah points out we don't do the Hiratzons after we do Hagbah. Why is all this the case? So the Mishnah Berurah gives a reason as follows. It says, because Pesach is 7 or 8 days, let's say, plus Yisro Chag is 9 days. You then have you have Erev Pesach as the 10th day. You have the days leading up to Pesach where there are joyous days because it's the days that the Nisiyim brought the gifts, the princes brought the gifts and to build the temple. Once you eliminate those 12 days, plus the other 10 days, we're 22 days. So most of the month, you're not saying Tachnan either way because it's a joyous time. We'll go the whole month without saying Tachnan. So that's what he says. The other reason they see right down there, Rav Shulchan says that, look, Nisan is the first month. You know, as we pointed out a couple minutes ago, it's the first month. It's the Mishkan was built in it, and it's a joyous time. Whatever it is, I think once you say no Tachnan, and no one wants to start asking questions, because then you might, you know, rock the boat there a little bit, right? You don't want to rock the boat. Okay, so we don't say Tachnan. The other halachas are there's a concept of Kimcha de Pischa. The Ramah quotes this idea of Kimcha de Pischa, that you're supposed to give specific money on around Pesach time to be distributed to those to buy kimcha, the flour for matzah, or that to help pay for Pesach.
Most chritim.
What's the idea behind this? So some say it's tzedakah. Others argue, Rabbi Salvechik argues this, the Mishnah Zayvitz, so we'd like to quote, he says this, actually it's not a din in Hilchos Tzedakah, if it's din in Hilchos Tzedakah, you find Hilchos Tzedakah. It's a specific din in Hilchos Pesach. It's unique. That, you know, this is why the minhag developed, when people sell chametz, they go to the rabbi, they give extra money for the rabbi as a gift. They also give money to Kimcha de Pischa to distribute. Why is this? So the Mishnah Berurah, Rav Zsolti says as follows. He says, so his approach is as follows. Part and parcel of Simchas Yom Tov is, says the Rambam, it's not about just eating meat and drinking wine with your family and closing your doors. So then that's, he goes, that's Simchas Kreso, that's a rejoicing of your belly. You're enjoying yourself. goes, it's about looking after the, and Rambam consistently says this, looking after the, those who are unfortunate, the Yas and the Amana, those who have less than us. That's what he says. That's what Rambam says. So he says, how do you therefore have Simchas Yomtiv? You have to give money to make sure everyone around you also has experienced Simchas Yomtiv. And therefore, Mishnah doesn't work out so well, but he basically says, the reason Rambam brings up here is because it's the first holiday, but really it applies to Sukkot as well and to Shavuos as well. That's what he says. Right, Salvech takes a little bit different approach, and he wants to argue and says the mark of a free person is the ability to give to others. So it's a din in Hilchos Pesach as well. The post could compare to a mas, a tax, you have to give it. In fact, there's a discussion, if you have to give it, or if the law of Hilchos Pesach, can you give from your Meiser calculations for it? Because Meiser can only come from money that does that it's basically money that has no lien on it. Where if you have to give it, for instance, big question, tuition. Can you pay tuition from Meiser? Now, first of all, Meiser, we pass it to minug. It's a highly encouraged minug. It's a very strong minug. If you can do it, you should do it. But it is a minug. Again, a very positive minug, and a minug that most of Klal Yisrael does or tries to do when they can't do it. But if you get technical, can you pay tuition? Sir Moshe Feinstein says, look, part of tuition you have to pay because you have to educate your kid. That's an obligation you have. You can't pay from an obligation. Like we learned in Mishnah Yomi with Israelim together that you can't take truma from something you already have an obligation on. So too with Meister as well. So if you have to give Moshe Chitam, so maybe you can't give it from Meister. Or if Shlomo Zalman said, look, at the end of the day, nowadays, there's no specific mas, no tax anymore, there's no definite amount, no one knows how much you have to give, and therefore he said you could do it, Rabbi Karel says, well, you can do it, but that is a discussion that comes up because it's a part of Hilchos Pesach. Lastly, we're going to finish up with Erev Pesach as well. At Erev Pesach, we don't say Mizmor Lesoda, which we've explained before, because the Mizmor Lesoda corresponds to the Karban Todah. The Karban Todah, what was unique about it was one of the two karbanos that you brought chametz with it, and you had a day and a night to, you had that day and night to eat, a day, night, and the next day to eat it, right? Why do you have so much time to eat it? And Tziv points out because a day and a night and a day, no?
I thought it was only one day,
but maybe you're right. Day, night, a day, I believe. And Tziv points out the reason for that is because you have so much food to eat in such a short amount of time. Oh, so maybe you're right. It's a day and a night? And
because
no, it's the next day?
Normal flamin is.
You're right. It's a day and a night to eat it. Correct. You have a day and a night to eat it. Why? You have so much to eat in such a small amount of time. This way it forces you to invite lots of guests, and then you lots of guests, telling you making a suda soda, but the Toda, that's what the Tziv says. Very nice. Says the problem is that if you bring a Toda on Erev Pesach, well, at some point, it's going to become chametz. It's become chametz Erev Pesach. And therefore, we don't want to bring a Toda lebeis apsol, basically force us to bring Toda and have to throw out most of the meat. You're right, it's a day and a night. So, because of that, we don't bring a carbon soda on Erev Pesach. For that reason, we don't say Mizmor Soda on Erev Pesach or, you know, on Chol Hamoed, etc. Lastly, one of the things we don't do, we don't fast during the month of Nisan, but Tanis Bechoros we do. We maybe discuss that at some other point. And I think that rounds out all the laws of Erev Pesach that we need to know for now. Any questions, thoughts, or comments?